Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Tuesday, December 17th edition of the MMA OB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'll be taking you guys through the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. I'm still in Las Vegas. I'm here for another day or two, and then I'm back in Toronto, but lots to talk about today. It's actually 10 a.m. Vegas time, so this is like the normal time to do the podcast back on home turf in Toronto. So we're going to talk about some fight announcements today, a little bit of news, but mostly fight announcements. There was a lot in the last couple of days. I was not able to get to them in the last few shows I did, which were very much UFC 245 centered. So I want to be discussing these fight announcements today on today's podcast. But I want to start with a little bit of news here. So the Jose Aldo Marlon Moraes fight, that was a very controversial decision. Many people thought Jose Aldo won the fight. I personally did. I thought he won the second and third rounds. I gave Moraes the first round. A lot of people kind of thought the same thing. Although the third round was kind of the swing round, they could have went either way. But Dana White thought that Jose Aldo won, as I've talked about on the show. Henry Cejudo thought he won as well. And now Jose Aldo's come out and he said that he thought he won every round, which I don't agree with, because I do think that Marlon won the first round. But again, I do think Jose won the second and third round. So in my opinion, it should have been the split decision win or a unanimous decision win for Jose Aldo. But it went the other way. And now Dana White's come out and said that he's still considering giving Aldo the title shot against Cejudo, which would set an interesting precedence in that you'd be giving a title shot to a guy coming off two losses, which is very rare. But not only that, but a guy who is going to be jumping the line ahead of someone in Peter Yan, who's very much deserving a title shot. So in my opinion, it just sets bad precedence. Like, I understand why they want to do the fight, but it's a big fight, obviously, but still, I mean, you got to like respect the rankings. You got to respect the sport. And I believe that Peter Yan has done everything in his power to get that title shot against Henry Cejudo. So it's kind of messed up, I think, if Aldo jumps in line and gets the title shot, guys. Not sure what you think. Definitely give me some thoughts on that if you want you to comment in the messages there. I'm curious to see what everyone else thinks. But in my opinion, it should be Peter Yan. But yeah, Jose Aldo's come out now, and he says he wants to fight Cejudo in either March or May in Brazil. There's obviously a couple fights there. In March, there's that UFC Brasilia card that does not have a main event yet. No idea who's going to be in the main event. Cejudo versus Aldo does make sense. I think they might want to save Cejudo for a pay-per-view, which I believe will be happening in May in Brazil. Usually that's when they do a pay-per-view in Brazil. And I think that's what Aldo was alluding to. So possibly a co-main event or even a main event there in Brazil. We'll see what happens. I think there is a good chance that Aldo actually does get the title shot. Again, I don't think he deserves it, just because I do think Peter Yan's just more deserving. If there wasn't Peter Yan in the conversation, if it was just Aldo and Cejudo, I would honestly consider giving it to Aldo and him jumping the line. But considering the fact that there is Peter Yan out there who is more than deserving a title shot, I just don't think it's right if Aldo jumps the line ahead of Peter Yan. That's my take on it. We'll see what happens. Again, I think the UFC is probably going to end up giving Aldo this title shot, just because Cejudo wants it. It is a bigger money fight. Peter Yan's not like a big enough star yet, I don't think, but he's done everything in his power to get that title shot, and he really does deserve it. So again, like I said, I missed a lot of fight announcements the last few days. So I'm going to talk about them right now on the show, because there was a lot of good fights that were announced, and I just haven't had time to get to them because I've been here in Vegas really enjoying myself. But let's talk about this fight, UFC Columbus, bantamweight bout between Rafael Sunso and Cody Garbrandt. I have talked a little bit about this fight the last few days because Cody Garbrandt was in the news, but I haven't actually broke down the fight. So it's an interesting matchup. I mean, Cody Garbrandt, he's still a star for the UFC. Like, when they put his face on the Titantron, whatever they call it, I guess the jumbo screen, at T-Mobile, like, he got a big pop. So people really like this guy still, even though he hasn't fought since March. He's coming off three straight knockout losses. So he's coming off three knockout losses, which is not good for anyone's career. But the one thing about this fight is Rafael Sunso doesn't really offer that sort of knockout power. Like, he's very rarely got knockouts in his career. He has, in his career, 34 fights and only 4 wins by knockout. The Matthew Lopez fight was his last knockout win 2 years ago. And the one before that was back in 2012 against Issei Tamura. So his knockout wins are far and few in between. Even the one before that was in 2008. And before that was back in his first fight in 2004. So it seems like every 4 or 5 years he gets a knockout, meaning that I think the UFC looks at this as like a less risky fight for Cody Garbrandt to bounce back to. Having said that, Sunso is a very dangerous guy. He's very talented, very technical, good striking, good ground game, good wrestling. But Cody Garbrandt's just so, he's still so dangerous, I think. And I do think he probably wins this fight. I think the UFC believes so too. So I would lean a little bit towards Cody Garbrandt here, even with the knockout losses in his last couple of fights. I think he will be a little bit more technical and a little less willing to stand and trade. But we'll see what happens. I mean, he's very willing to go in there and put his chin on the line, and it has cost him the last few fights. But we'll see what happens in this one. It's a good fight, though. I like the matchup. It makes a lot of sense in the division. UFC Norfolk, this is a new card that's been announced for the end of February. So that I was looking at the schedule, guys, and it's insane. Like, there's so many cards coming up. 2 in January, 4 in February, 4 in March. So no surprise there, I guess. I mean, we know the UFC's busy, but this is a lot of fights. So, yeah, Megan Anderson will be taking on Norma Dumont, who's a UFC newcomer at UFC Norfolk. Megan Anderson, 10-4, and UFC, she's 2-2. Bit disappointing. She is coming off a win over Zara Farron dos Santos. But overall, I feel like she's been a bit disappointing in the UFC. We all thought she'd be a legitimate title contender at 145, but she hasn't really turned into that. And she takes on Norma Dumont here, who, again, is making her UFC debut. I don't think a lot of us know much about her, to be quite frank. She's 4-0. She's from Brazil, 29 years old. And again, only 4 fights. She started fighting as a pro in 2016. She's fought in jungle fight and shooto. I don't know. I mean, you have to lean towards Anderson, obviously, because she has the experience here. But I don't know. I haven't been too impressed with her. And it wouldn't surprise me if she did lose this fight. But again, I don't know a ton about Dumont. I'd have to look her up a little bit more for that card. UFC Raleigh gets a really interesting fight here at middleweight between Bavon Lewis and Daquan Townsend. Bavon Lewis needs to get a win. This guy has been disappointing in the UFC as well. 6-2 now, but he was 6-0 before he made his UFC debut, and he's lost back-to-back fights to Uriah Hall and Darren Stewart. So he's been disappointing, guys, and he's a prospect that a lot of us thought had a lot of talent, but he hasn't really shown it so far. He was supposed to fight Alan Amadovsky, and now he'll be taking on Daquan Townsend, who is going to actually be moving down in weight for this fight. And Daquan Townsend is a decent fighter, I guess. Nothing too special. He does have quite a bit of experience in his career with a 19-8 record, according to Sherdog. And he fought his first fight against Dalka Lugambula, obviously a light heavyweight. So he's moving down here. He had a 5-fight win streak before that. I think he is a dangerous guy, but I think Bavon Lewis probably does get back on the winning ways here. I think the UFC believes so as well. That's my kind of guess for this fight and how it goes. UFC 247, they get a couple fights here, some really interesting ones. Jimmy Rivera against Marlon Vera. Really like this fight. Great matchup here. Jimmy Rivera is a very, very good fighter. He's only 30 years old, which is crazy because he's been around forever. He's been fighting since 2008. He's been in the UFC since 2015. His overall record in the UFC is 6-3. He's coming off back-to-back losses against Jan and Sterling. So, unfortunately for Rivera, when he's taking that step up, he's lost. But he does have some really good wins, though, in the UFC. Pedro Munoz, Uriah Faber. So, some good wins. And he's a very, very good fighter. He takes on Marlon Vera here, who's very well deserving of this top 10 fight. Vera, 15-5-1 in his career. And his record in the UFC is 9-4. So it's a great record, and he's a very, very good fighter, coming off 5 straight wins, beat Andre Ewell by TKO in his last fight, so really dangerous guy. He's actually won 5 straight wins by stoppage, and it's actually, if you go back and discount his losses in that streak, his last 7 wins in a row by stoppage, so very dangerous guy. Rivera's really good. I kind of lean towards Marlon Vera here. You know, this guy's been kind of flying under the radar, and I think he's a really good fighter that a lot of people just don't give enough credit to. I think he's very dangerous. So yeah, that UFC 247 card, guys, is looking really good. And also added to that card is a middleweight bout between Trevin Giles and Antonio Arroyo. So an interesting fight here. Giles, another guy who's been a little bit disappointing in the UFC 2-2. He had the wins over James Bokhnevich and Antonio Braga Neto by knockout, and then he's lost back-to-back fights to Zach Cummings and Gerald Meerschaert by submission. So he's been a little bit disappointing in the UFC. I think a lot of us thought he'd be a little bit of a stronger fighter than this. He had a long layoff. He went to police academy. He hasn't looked good since, but still a good prospect. He takes on Antonio Arroyo here, 9-3 record. And Arroyo is coming off a loss in his UFC debut to Andre Ruiz, but before that, he had won 5 straight fights. So a dangerous guy still. I do lean a little bit towards Giles. He is from Texas, so that should give him a little bit of a boost here. And I think that he's the better fighter. But with those losses by submission, it definitely makes it a risky fight for him. Couple other fights here at UFC London to talk about. Darren Stewart will be taking on Marvin Vettori. I like this fight a lot. Really good matchup here. 2 underrated guys at 185. Darren Stewart is a really good fighter right now at 185. His record in the UFC is not very good. It's 4-4 and 1-0 contest. So his record's not good, but this guy's really bounced back. Like, he started his UFC career with an 0-3 and won no contest record, and he's bounced back with four wins in his last five fights. So he's looked really good, coming off back-to-back wins over Deron Wynn and Devon Lewis. And honestly, a lot of us thought that he was very competitive with Edmund Shahbazyan, and some people thought he actually won that decision. So he's a really good fighter, really dangerous guy, and a very underrated fighter. And takes on Marvin Vettori here, who is a really good fighter as well, 14-4-1, and his UFC record's 4-2-1. And he's coming off back-to-back wins over Andrew Sanchez and Cesar Ferreira. And he's a younger guy here by a few years. He's very dangerous. This is a close fight, guys. Two guys are basically on the bubble of that top 15, top 10 position in the UFC middleweight rankings. Kind of lean towards Vettori a little bit, but with Stewart fighting in London, it could give him the boost that he needs to get the win. And the last fight I want to talk about here for UFC London, Rafael Pessoa versus Tom Espinal in a heavyweight bout. This is also, again, at UFC London. Rafael Pessoa, he is coming off a win over Jeff Hughes in his last fight. He lost to Ciryl Gane in his debut in the UFC, so no shame in that loss. And now he takes on Tom Aspinall, who's making his UFC debut. Tom Aspinall, 7-2 record. He is an English-based fighter. He's coming off three straight wins. Doesn't have a ton of like high-level experience. He's fought a couple guys that, I guess, have somewhat of a name in Europe, but nothing special. He is coming off a couple wins by knockout and cage warriors, though. So UFC obviously saw something in him, and they signed him. We'll see what happens here. I guess I kind of lean towards Aspinall just because he is fighting in England, but Pessoa did look decent in his last fight, so he could get the win. Anyways, I think that's it for fight announcements. Obviously, like I said, there was a lot to talk about today as far as they go. I'll be doing another podcast tomorrow, probably at like around this normal time. So things are going to get back to normal very soon. And then Thursday, I'll be back in Toronto. So guys, once again, thanks for tuning into the podcast. You can check me on Twitter at @MMAdamMartinPodcast, MAOddsBreaker.com, YouTube, SoundCloud, Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, everything. Appreciate the support, guys. Also, check me out at BJPenn.com and MMArings.net. I've had a great time here in Las Vegas. It's been a lot of fun. Fights were good. Food's been good. Shows have been good. Just a tremendous time. So if you guys haven't been out here, definitely come out here. I know I've taken a while to get out here, but it's been everything I've wanted and much more. So it's been a great time, and I appreciate you guys tuning into the show. I'll be back tomorrow for another edition of the MMAOBDLE podcast live from Vegas, and then I'll be back to normal on Thursday. All right, guys, have a great day. I'll see you soon. Bye.